Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 30. As we study through Genesis, beginning the first year of the 6 years of studying through the Bible, it's amazing how these stories in Genesis really do reflect a selfishness. When you look at one word, what is that one word to describe so many of the characters that we've been looking at? And in Genesis chapter 30, we're still going through Jacob's life, his interactions with Laban, his wife Rachel, Leah, and the others. And what you see is the wives of Jacob pretty much act out what Jacob is, a very selfish, self-centered personality. So we went through the first 24 verses of Genesis 30. We're in Genesis 30, verse 25. And Joseph is born. And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, "Send me away, that I may go unto mine own people, unto my country. Give me my wives and my children, for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee." And Laban said unto him, "I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake." Let's pray. Lord, you thank you for many blessings. We just pray you have your will and your way in the Sunday school lesson this morning. Guide, lead, and direct in all things. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. So, as we look at this, he wants to be sent away. Joseph is born. He will have another son, Benjamin, with Rachel. Rachel dies in that childbirth. So, you know, maybe Rachel's long time not having children was not necessarily a bad thing for their relationship. Sometimes we don't understand why God doesn't answer our prayer according to what our prayer is. Lord, give me, I need, I want. And then there's this long delay and we have no understanding, maybe until we get out on the other side. But even then, sometimes we don't realize that God had been allowing things and doing things for our good. And if we're not conscious of that, we don't see that. You should always evaluate your life. Look at the things that go on and try to understand why God is so good to you. And God is good to all of us.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we get to thinking, "Oh me, oh my," and that's not really the way it is. God is good. So he said he wanted to go to his own place. And you know, one of the things as I studied through here, I realized that Jacob was probably a hard worker. You know, you have a lot of people that are hard workers. I mean, diligent, hard working people, but yet they lack character. And that's the way you have with Jacob. He has a character problem. But yet he's probably, if you wanted him to do a job, he'd probably be the guy to do it until the very end when you got to pay him and you find out he's going to get his way and take more than you really a bargain for. Unless you're like Laban, you're just really reaping what you've sown. You hadn't done him right, and God's going to take care of him, and he's bid his time. But look at what he says. He says, "You know my service." Well, you know, they're in verse 26. And then Laban says, "I have learned by experience." You know, the NIV changed that to divination. Now, I don't know which one it's supposed to be. I didn't look it up in the original Greek because I don't have the originals. But to say that the modern versions are simply updating the language, then let me ask you, does that say the same thing in both versions? The answer is no. It's a smokescreen. We're just making it easier to understand. I ask people all the time, what are you understanding? Are you telling me that I learn by experience and I learn by divination are exactly the same thing? That's really, you know, conveying the Greek here to where it says the same thing. No, it says two different things. I've learned by experience. I went through this morning and looked up Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, go ahead and look over there and let's look at this thing about learning things and learning things by experience. In Philippians 4, the Bible says in, I think, verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead... Oops, that's 3, chapter 4. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. What did Paul learn? Whatsoever state he's in, be content. You know, the modern Christianity says you're supposed to have wealth and prosper and health and never bad times. And if you're suffering, it's because you're sinful and you're ungodly and you're wicked. It might be because of that, but that's not necessarily always the case. Sometimes God will let you go through some things to bring you out on the other end, so you only have one thing you can do, and that's give God the glory for the outcome.
Amen.
If you are living within your own self-sufficiency and your own power, you need to learn how to be content and not live that way. Look at what he says here. He goes on. In verse 12, he says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Well, wait a minute. I thought you're supposed to abound all the time. Isn't that what you see on television with these televangelists telling you, oh, you're supposed to have health, wealth, and prosperity? No, the prosperity that God wants you to have is within the will of God. He says, everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. By the way, all the modern versions change that to who strengtheneth me. I can do all things. No, you can't. You can do all things which strengthen you, make you stronger as a Christian. I can do all things which strengthen me through who? Through Christ. You can't do all things. But anything that makes you a stronger Christian, you can do. And that's what we're supposed to be seeing there. So we learn in whatsoever state to be content. Go back to Genesis. In Genesis chapter 30, verse 27, Laban said unto him, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. For thy sake. I have 7 people that were blessed and was recognized that they were blessed. You've got Laban here. Laban saw Jacob and he said, the Lord hath blessed me. In chapter 26, you have Abimelech saw Isaac and he said, the Lord was with thee. Speaking of Isaac, Potiphar in chapter 39 saw Joseph and he saw that the Lord was with him there in verse 3 of chapter 39. The jailer saw Joseph in verse 23 and he says, because the Lord was with him. The Egyptian saw Joseph in chapter 41, God hath showed thee all this. You remember Saul and David there in 1 Samuel chapter 18. Saul saw that the Lord was with David. So what did he try to do? Kill David. I mean, sometimes, you know, the Lord's with you, and I understand I'm being blessed because of that. But then in Saul's case, he says, well, wait a minute. You know, are you the anointed one now? I need to kill my competition. So just because the Lord's with you and people realize that doesn't mean they're going to look at it and go, glory, hallelujah, I'm happy. Now in this case, he's, you know, I've learned by experience, but he's still going to try to take advantage of him. And then the last one was Israel with Solomon. There in 1 Kings chapter 3, the wisdom of God was in him, the Bible says. So I've learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Verse 28. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. He says, just name your price in verse 28. But wait a minute. Aren't we going to see later on he changes wages 10 times? He just says, name your price. Oh, and when I find out what your price is, that's the one I'm going to pick. So you name your price, and then I'll know what's important to you. You got to sometimes be careful about showing all your cards, as they say. Somebody, you go and you're buying a house, and you go, man, and you better hold back and go, yeah, it's all right, you know, yeah, you know. When we ever do anything, buying a car or anything, it's like, honey, just give me a wink, do something, but don't talk. Don't let them know that, you know, we really like this thing. You know, I remember I was buying a gun one time. It was a 357 Magnum with a 6-inch barrel, custom sights, custom trigger job. And the guy that went with me said, if you don't want it, I want it. I was like, shutting ze up. I said, well, I just speak some German to him. You know, shutting ze up. You know, and I ended up buying it, but I didn't get a deal. I couldn't talk the guy down. I mean, it was obvious we wanted the thing. So, as you look at this thing, he learned by experience. He says, name your price. And, you know, that makes you wonder, but remember who we're dealing with here. We're dealing with Laban. Laban's a conniver. Not a cadaver, a conniver. Verse 29, he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee and how thy cattle was with me. Again, it sort of speaks of his work ethic. That's the one thing I got out of this that was, it was sort of unusual, because here I am reading Jacob and going, man, this guy is manipulative and he's deceitful, but he's a hard worker. Otherwise, you know, otherwise it doesn't ring true here as you read through this thing. Just keep that in mind. Verse 30. For it was little which thou hadst before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude, and the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming, and now when shall I provide for mine own house also? And you know, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:8, you're worse than an infidel if you don't provide for your own. So it's not wrong for him to ask, wait a minute, I need to make sure that my family's taken care of. I can't just look at this thing and go, well, you know, here it is, I'm going to just do this. And for, you know, no, he's got to provide for his own. Verse 31, and he said, what shall I give thee? There it goes again. Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. He's saying, no, wait a minute. I'm going to give something to you. No, I've worked 20 years. You know, you're not giving me anything. You haven't paid me. You've changed my wages 10 times. You're not giving me anything. These are my wages I'm asking for. What shall I give thee? Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. So just keep that in mind. He's going to stay a little while longer. And he's saying, look, all I want to do is split the flock. I have mine, you have yours, and I'll continue to take care of your flock, but there's a reason for that too. I'm going to cheat you out of them. I'm going to take the strong ones, leave you the weak ones, and then I'm going to leave. I'm going to skirt out of here at night so you don't know about it. I mean, he's conniving, and always this is always him. So, you know, even though he's got a good work ethic, sooner or later, Jacob's going to get you. So verse 32, I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled spotted cattle and all the brown cattle among the sheep and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. Notice that's a key word there. What shall I give thee? Oh, no. I'm working. I've worked for this. It's my hire. In Oriental flocks, you see most of them are black or white, solid colors. Verse 33, so shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. He says, man, that's a good deal. He looks out there and he says, 1, 2, 3... 20, 50, 60, 80, 100. You know, he's looking at his and he's going, man, that's all you want? Now he's dealing with Jacob. You're not going to win when you deal with Jacob. He's going to make sure, you know. And boy, when we start looking at this thing and they conceived and all that stuff, don't ask me how all that worked. I read it I don't know how many times yesterday, today, and I'm reading it. I'm going, come on. I mean, what? How do you? If somebody came to you and said, "How'd that happen?" You just look at them and go, "I don't know. I don't know." He put it in the water. They came up. Now, he did have a dream. So there, you know, in the dream you get a little bit of an understanding that God took care of it and God did it. It was a natural thing. But when you're reading through it the first time, it's like, what in the world? They conceived? We'll continue on. I'm trying to be very delicate as I go through. Verse 34, Laban said, "Behold, I would it might be according to thy word." And he removed that day. This is Laban removing. "That day, the he-goats that were ring-straked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them unto the hands of his sons." Laban keeps all the solid color, and he gives them to his sons. "And he," that's Laban, "set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks." Now, why would he have to put 3 days? He says, "Man, if that's all I got to give up, I'm getting my flock, as many as I can, out of here, 3 days' journey. Because I don't trust this guy." Good move. He's still going to get you. Verse 37, "Jacob took him rods of green poplar, and of the hazel, chestnut tree, and peeled," that's peeled in what you would think of, "white streaks in them, and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks and the gutters and the watering troughs, when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink." Now all I can say is he had a dream. We'll get to the dream in a minute, which gives you a little bit more information. But the conception took place there. "And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle, ring-straked, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring-straked and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle..." Now here's where you have a little bit of a problem. I mean, I guess. Or is it just good business? I don't know. "But when the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, they might conceive among the rods. And when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle, maid servants and men servants and camels and asses." So Laban's trickery finally caught up to him. He changes his wages 10 times. He says, "Man, I got the deal of a lifetime here." And guess what? When you get the deal of a lifetime and they call you on the phone and they send you that email, don't send them any money. Yeah. It's not the deal of a lifetime. It's a ripoff. There's a Jacob. Yeah, I don't know. You get those calls? I get those calls all the time. I get that call and I say, "Hey," they say, this is Windows something. And I say, "You're on my computer? What do you mean Windows on my computer? You're in my computer? What are you doing in my computer?" Because I finally got tired of them. They'll start talking. "No, no, 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 no." And that's how they do. "No, no, 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 no." And I say, "Wait a minute. You're in my computer. Get out of my computer." And then if they keep going, I say, "Listen, you dirty, rotten, no good, low down, good for nothing, hell-bound sinner." And they say, then they'll start going, "Well, you blankety blank." And I'll go, "Oh, I guess you're not Windows." But I mean, it's amazing to me. I mean, it's just all these calls coming in. Used to be the do not call list meant something until, you know, you had an attorney general that really doesn't mean anything. You know, like there's one group of people the law applies to and another group. Now it doesn't matter anymore. What a shame. That do not call list was nice because, see, they feared if they called you and you're on that list, they feared you recording it and then going after him, but who's going to prosecute now? I mean, the government's probably the one condoning the thing or funding the thing or giving the money to Russia to fund it or something. I don't know. So we get into chapter 31 now, and look at what it says in verse 1. "And he heard," that's Jacob, "he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, And of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. So I guess when you have much cattle, there's a lot of prestige, a lot of glory in that thing. And you can imagine it, you know, if you're raising animals, I mean, that is true. I mean, you got multitude of them. Verse 2, Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. You know, one of the things you ought to learn how to do is learn how to read people. I don't like talking on the phone much. I like face-to-face. If I'm trying to figure out, you know, an angle of where somebody's coming from, or trying to figure out what they're thinking or how they're reacting to something, I want to talk to them face-to-face so I can see mannerisms and facial expressions. But here you got it right here. But this isn't the first time Jacob's seen this demeanor change. You know, he saw it with his brother, probably saw it with his father, and probably saw it with a bunch of people that the stories aren't even told here in the Bible. But you ought to learn how to read people's countenance. Learn how to judge where they're coming from and why they're saying what they're saying, the inflection of their voice and things like that. Verse 3, and the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Now that is one of the most important things. Why does Jacob need to worry about Esau when he's going back if God says, I will be with thee? Why does he even need to worry about Laban in the present tense? I will be with thee. Go back to the land. Well, wait a minute. I got to get all these groups of animals together and send the servants first. And then I got to send my unfavorite wife. And then I got to keep my favorite wife and my favorite son in the back. And, you know, I got to manipulate this situation because I thought it said, I will be with thee. And you look at this and you say, I can't believe Jacob acted that way. I mean, look at me in my life. God says, I will be with thee. And how do we handle it? We don't handle it any different. We do not handle things any different than Jacob did when we handle things in the flesh. When you handle something in the flesh, you're not trusting God. And if you're not trusting God and I'm not trusting God, we can't please God. And we show our lack of faith, and without faith it's impossible to please God. You want to please God? Live by faith. You want to live by faith? Please God. Figure out how to figure out what and what God's doing in your life and how God's working through your life. And then as you're going through, you'll realize, man, this is God. This is God. And something bad comes, you go, this is God. Whatsoever state I've learned to be content. Had Paul learned to be content? Tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience. Experience hope. He had to go through some tribulation and some suffering to learn how to trust in God. You wonder why God has to put things and allow things to come in our life? Is it because He doesn't care for you? No, it's because He does care for us. And He lets those things come in. So verse 4, now you know, you get into some trouble here. Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock. And he said unto them, I see your father's countenance, and it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. There you go. That's the key. That's the key to your life and my life and contentment, that God is with you. The problem we have is we do so many things and we lack this faith. So we may say it verbally, but do we truly believe it and live it? That God is with me. That God is in this. That God is blessing. See, sometimes you go through and you got some things like that and you know the Scripture. But the problem is if you live on the edge a little bit, you'll start doubting what's going on. You'll have doubts in your mind and fear in your heart because you're just not sure that God can be blessing that thing you're doing the way that you're doing it with your mind's motive in it. Ask yourself, why do I do the things that I do? Always ask yourself that. Well, because I want to be seen. Better not do it. I want to be well known. I want to be popular. To glorify God. That's the only reason we ought to do the stuff. And then when you do it for the glory of God, then you can truly say that God is with me. And not only can you say it, but you can believe it. Verse 6. And ye know that with all my power I served your father. Then again, here's a guy with some work ethic. He's a hard worker. But he lives a life of a lost man. He's going to flee when no man pursueth. That's what the Bible says about the wicked. Well, is he wicked? Not necessarily, but he's living like a wicked man. So he flees and he's fearful all the time. If you're living in fear all the time, there's something wrong with you. Not God. Verse 7, your father hath deceived me. Oh, that's like kettle calling the pot black. By the way, the sins that'll bother you the most are what? The sins that you have in your life. If you're a liar and somebody lies to you, boy, you'll despise them. How dare they lie to me? Somebody cheats a cheater, steals from a thief. Man, I've seen it. I've been in mission work for 15 years, president of a mission down in Montgomery, Alabama, when I lived down there. And boy, I'll tell you what, they hated people that did to them exactly what they did to others. You know, you bring them in there and they got their cigarettes and somebody steals their cigarettes. Of course, they're a thief. And they get so beside themselves. Yes, they did smoke, and we tried to get that out of them, but you ought to try. You have to quit smoking. Where are all the people? They all left and went to another mission where they can smoke their cigarettes. And you try to, you get them saved and then let God work on them. So he deceived me, changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. You know, I got to looking at this. You know, his focus is on the money and the things. You know, he's changed my wages. That's all he's concerned about. He's changed my wages. He's focused on the money. If you get focused on the money, you won't be focused on God. Verse 8, If he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said the ring straight shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring straight. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream. And behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring-straight, speckled, and grizzled. So, how did they conceive? It was natural. How did it all work out? I don't know, but I am telling you that that's natural. I'm just going to say childbirth. That's natural beast birth. Okay? Look at verse 11. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, Jacob, and I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see, and all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-straight, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. By the way, you don't take things into your own hands. You say, somebody's done me wrong. God knows. God knows. You say, well, it just doesn't seem like God knows. It doesn't seem like God's going to handle it the way I want Him to handle it. God will handle it. Problem is, we don't get out of the way. The Bible says, if you see your enemy falter or stumble, it says, rejoice not. Because if you rejoice, God will turn His judgment away. And you wonder, well, why didn't anybody ever get their upcomings or their due? It's because we don't handle it right. The best thing you can do is pray for your enemies. Pray for your enemies. The Bible says pray for your enemies. How do you do that? You bow your head and you go, Lord, that person that did me wrong, I just pray, Lord, that you would just bless them. Lord, help them to see the error of their ways. Lord, help them to grow and mature and help them to come to Christ if they're not saved. And all of a sudden you open up your eyes and it's a different world. And then God's judgment falls on them. And you go, yeah! And God says, no more judgment. Wonder why? Because it says, rejoice not. We want to rejoice when people get their due. And God says, if you do, I'll turn my judgment away from them. That's why people don't get judged. Because Christians can't handle it. And we just take it all in and we go, oh man, I don't hate them. I don't hate them a bit. I just want them to die. You know, that's how we handle stuff. Kill them, Lord. I mean, bless them, Lord. You know, you can't do that. God will take care of stuff. Quit trying to take care of everything yourself. Oh, I got to stomp him in the ground because God won't. No, you just hurt your, you sprain your ankles, what you do. Look at what it says here. Verse 13, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. Verse 14, and Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, boy, they're joining in the chorus now. This is why you got to be careful, husbands. You got to be careful when you talk to your wife and you give her all the bad and the gunk about somebody. Because you think, well, they can handle it. Not always. They'll take your little hatred a whole lot further. They'll go out there and steal their father's gods, you know. I mean, think about it. Why did she steal his gods? Because, hey, he deserved it. I'm just doing what he deserved. I'm going to take these things. Maybe she was getting back at him. Look at what it says here. It says, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him strangers? For he has sold us and hath quite devoured also our money. He sold you? Now, if I was Jacob, I'd say, whoa. Yeah, I worked for you. But that isn't how we need to view this relationship. I mean, Leah, I know you got the bad end of the deal because I don't love you like I should. But Rachel now, come on. 14 years I worked for you. And she looks at me and says, yeah, he sold me to you. It's all about perspective. But who brought it on? Jacob. Jacob said, boy, your dad, he's a dirty, rotten scoundrel. And he's ripped me off and changed my wages 10 times. When they jump on the bandwagon, Jacob's going, oh, what happened here? I had such a good relationship with these women. Not really, but it was better before I opened my mouth. Yeah, you better be careful what you tell your wife. You bring home work from the office, and you start telling them about everybody that's done you wrong at work. And then you have an office party, and you all get together, and she's got a scowl on her face, and they're looking at her going, what crawled up her nose? You know. And then you lose your job because the boss says, man, you got one of the most hateful wives I've ever met. Well, what caused that? You. Be careful. Women are the weaker vessel. They can't handle all that info. You come home every day dogging your boss. Every day dogging your boss. Every day. By the time you get done, that woman's going to hate your boss, who's not probably near as bad as you say he is. And you're thinking, I just get it off my chest. Just throw it all on that woman when I come home. Keep it to yourself, bozo. He's devoured all our money. Hey, what's Jacob focused on? Money. What are these wives focused on? Money. Why are they focused on money? Because of Jacob. Verse 16. For all the riches with which God hath taken. Boy, there you go. Get God in this thing. Let's justify everything we do. From our Father, that is ours and our children's now then. Whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do. Now they get real spiritual. That's an obedient wife right there. Whatever God told you. I mean, we got all the money now. Let's get out of here. Let's get out of Dodge. You know, well, 2 weeks ago, I don't want to leave. You know, I don't want to go. We got it good here, you know, like Israel and in Egypt. We got it good here. Or you get out of there and then they look back, you know. How does that happen? It's all about a mindset. It's all about where your focus is. His focus is on money. His wife's focus is on what? Money. Why? Because that's what he did to them. Verse 17, then Jacob rose up, set his sons and his wives upon camels. He carried away all his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting. That's interesting. All that he had gotten, the cattle of his getting. They said, whatever the Lord's blessed you with. Well, wait a minute. It says the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in Padan Aram, for to go to Isaac, his father, in the land of Canaan. Notice it doesn't mention his mom. So maybe he already knows she's died. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. Well, you know, maybe there was some gold in there. What was it about? Maybe it was just about money. Does she believe in the gods? I don't know, but I know this. She stole from her father. Why did she steal from her father? Because she was focused upon what? Money or vengeance or discontentment. He built that up and built it up to justify his actions. And when you justify your actions, you aren't going to stop it with the results that you expect. You're going to get much more than you expect. Well, I got to make sure my wives understand that I'm not doing him wrong, and I'm right, and I'm just, and I'm good, and I'm this, and I'm that, and he's that, and he's bad, and he's wicked, and then they go steal his gods, and then you make a vow and say, well, whoever stole them, kill them. Yeah. Better keep your mouth shut. Sure. So you go on, and it says, they stole the images, verse 20, she stole them. Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled. So he fled. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. Proverbs 28:1. So he fled with all that he had, and he rose up and passed over the river and set his face toward the Mount Gilead. And it was told Laban, and on the third day that Jacob was fled. Now this is not the 3 days that he did the 3 days journey, although he may still be in the same area 3 days away. So somebody may have gone to tell him, and he's still over in that area, or he's gone back and forth. Because he did see his countenance, so there's been some interaction between the two, but maybe that's the area. They're 3 days apart. And he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey. Now, here's an interesting thing. Later on, when he meets Esau, he's going to say, hey, I can't push him too fast and too hard. And that's what he tells him. But wait a minute. It takes him 7 days to catch up to him with the little ones. That means he's pushing him pretty hard. He's fleeing for his life. He's scared to death because he finds out in 3 days and then he's got 7 days' journey. Of course, it could be that he's traveling the other direction. He's got three to catch up to where Jacob is and then three more plus one. But he's still moving at a pretty good pace. So you look, verse 24, and God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Don't make him any more promises and don't threaten him. Then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. Laban said to Jacob, what hast thou done? Thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives, taken with a sword. No, I brainwashed. I didn't have to say much more. I had already polluted you in their mind. Be careful what you do with a mother, father, even in a divorce situation. We adopted our children and we did not dog those other parents. You know what we told them? They gave you up because they loved you. You didn't destroy that relationship, that trust. You know why? Because they couldn't handle you guys. I mean, we couldn't hardly handle you. Only kidding. Verse 27, wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me, and didst not tell me that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs and tabret and with a harp? Boy, there you go. There's a big one. Hey, we were going to just have a big party. You were going away. No, you weren't. You were going to try to talk him out of it. You were going to try to change his wages again. You were going to try to manipulate the situation. Why? Because you're a manipulator. Verse 29, it is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. That reminds me of Pilate, what he said to Jesus. The power of my hand to crucify thee? He says, no, no, no. God, if God doesn't let you do it, you can't do it. I lay down my life. And he spake unto me yesternight, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob, either good or bad. Now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? You see, this is the real reason, you know, he really gets down to brass tacks. Yeah. You know, you really want to know about somebody, you just listen to them long enough and they'll get to their point. And that's really what's important. Now, why did they steal the gods? Well, because look at what he's done to us. He's done our, you know, he's destroyed our inheritance. He sold us. So I can steal his gods. Tit for tat. one wrong, two wrongs don't make a right. It's still wrong what she did. Verse 31, Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid. For I said, peradventure thou wouldest take by force thy daughters from me. The Bible says in Psalm 56:4, in God I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh shall do to me. Fear of man bringeth a snare. Proverbs 29:25. Verse 32, with whomsoever thou findest thy gods, let him not live before our brethren. Discern thou what is thine with me, and take it to thee. And Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen them. Laban went into Jacob's tent. Now watch this. He went into Jacob's tent, and then into Leah's tent, and then into the two maidservants' tent, but he found them not. Now look at what it says. Then went he out of Leah's tent and entered into Rachel's tent. So Rachel was off the chart. Even if it was Rachel, I don't even want to know. Maybe daddy's favorite. But he comes out of Leah's tent after he'd already been in Leah's. He probably went into Leah's twice. He's ready to sacrifice Leah. But Rachel, he doesn't want to touch. And maybe that's why Rachel's sitting up there on the camel going, I know my daddy's not going to make me move, and I know what to say, because I know how he feels about this. And he's going to say, stay up there, honey. I don't want nothing to do with it. I don't even want to hear it. Ah! You know, you'll see in a minute. As though you don't know already. Verse 33, Laban went into Jacob's tent, and so on. Verse 34, now Rachel had taken the image, put them in the camel's furniture, and sat upon them, and Laban searched all the tent, but found them not. And she said unto her father, let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of women is upon me. And he searched, but found not the images. By the way, I won't even tell you what the modern versions say. It's just inappropriate. Inappropriate. But the custom of women, that is not even embarrassing in a mixed company, because the Bible is delicate. The Bible is written in such a way that you don't have to be embarrassed by reading it, so long as you read it within, you know, within what God intends. Verse 36, Jacob was wroth and chode with Laban, and Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff, that's a good King James Bible word, what hast thou found of all thy household stuff? Set it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge betwixt us both. This 20 years have I been with thee, thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young. The rams thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of beast I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. That's good business there. Again, he seems like he's a good businessman. He takes responsibility even if it's not his responsibility. So he seems like he has a business acumen, but then of course he does. He's a Jew. And that's not... That is true historically the way it is. They will rip you off. Why? Well, because that's their mentality, and that's why God's judged them. And that doesn't mean you don't support Israel. It's inappropriate. I mean, not inappropriate. It's politically incorrect to say what I just said. But truth is truth. This is what the Bible shows, the Jacob mentality of the Jewish people. And that's why you can turn Nazi Germany against them like Hitler did. That's why you can study history and see it over and over and over again. They're good businessmen with good business practices, but they'll also get you if you close one eye. You better keep an eye open all the time. Let's go ahead and stop there. But look at verse 41. He talks about him changing his wages 10 times. And then they're going to make a covenant there in verse 44 and not cross over. But the first time, look at verse 54. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount, called his brethren to eat bread, and they did eat bread and tarried all night long, all night in the mount. So that's the first time sacrifice is mentioned in your Bible. So when you look through these stories, just learn from them. Learn how, I mean, these are practical things. You shouldn't read Genesis and go, well, that's just an archaic book. No, it's the book of beginnings. It'll help you.